السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، verily all praises and thanks are due to Allah. We thank Him and we ask for His assistance and His forgiveness. We say thank you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils within ourselves and from our sinful acts and misdeeds. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides will never be misguided, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits to be misguided, no one can ever guide. We all bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. For believers to fear Allah as He should be feared and never guide except as so Muslims. For mankind to fear Allah, your Lord, the one who created you from a single person, and from Him created His name and from both of them spread men and women. Fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights and ask one another. Fear Allah and never set aside the relations between you and your relatives. Fear Allah, indeed, He is an observer over each and every one of us. Who believers to fear Allah and also take us through, He will direct us to the righteous and the good deeds and will forgive our sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will indeed achieve the greatest achievement. To continue, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, indeed, the best and the truest speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His words. And the best guidance is that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us from Allah azza wa jal. And the words that fear are the invented issues in the religion, and every invented matter in the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hisbah. Thumma amma ba'd. Sayyid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qad rabata وجعل العلاقة بين الرجل والمرأة، بين الزوج وزوجته، علاقة تقوم على الميثاق الغليظ عقد الزواج، وعلاقة تقوم على المودة والرحمة. واستكمالا بهذا الموضوع، نكمل اليوم الحديث عن الحقوق الزوجية، حق الرجل على المرأة وحق المرأة. لئلا يكون للناس على الله عز وجل حجة بعد ذلك، الله سبحانه وتعالى بين كل شيء في كتابه الكريم، ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينها في سنته صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، إما بالقول أو بالعمل أو بالإقرار يعني الموافقة عليها. بل براذرز اند سيسترز، الله سبحانه وتعالى هاز the relation between the husband and the wife and make it based on a solemn contract, which is the purpose of marriage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has placed between both of them mercy, affection, and love and understanding. And He states these principles in the Holy Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified all of these things in the book, in the Holy Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented or carried out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated or instructed in the Holy Quran, either by his saying, or by his action, or by his approval and agreement. And in continuation of the subject of the marital rights, the mutual rights, the rights of the husband upon the wife, and the rights of the wife upon the husband, we will complete this subject today. In order not to leave an excuse for someone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after Sidali Quran for these things, we should understand overall that this relation is not like any other relation. It's not even like the relation between the brother and his brother, his own brother, his real brother, or like the brother and his real sister, or like the person and his mother. This is something that has mutual rights and has certain regulations that have to be observed when we talk about the relationship between the husband and the wife. من حقوق المرأة على الرجل أن يستجيرها في الأمور وخاصة فيما يتعلق بحياتهما وأولادهما. لنا في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأسوة الحسنة. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. في صلح الحديبية نحن نعلم أن هذا الصلح في المعاهدة التي تمت بين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين مشركي مكة في السنة الثالثة للهجرة، لما أراد الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يذهب إلى أداء العمرة في السنة الثالثة للهجرة في صلح الحديبية. ونعلم الشروط التي وضعت وأمليت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو قبل بها صيانة وحفاظا على دماء المسلمين وصيانة وحفاظا على دماء غيرهم من أهل مكة. أراد الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقبل بها وقبل بها، وكان من الشروط التي أمليت على المسلمين في ذلك الوقت أن يرجعه فلا يحج إلى مكة، فلا يذهب إلى مكة ذلك العام ويأتي العام القادم. فكان المسلمون محرمين، كانوا محرمين للحج أو محرمين بالعمرة، فلكي يرجعوا لابد وأن يتحللوا من إحرامهم. فأمرهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بعدما وقع الصلح، بعدما أفرم المعاهدة، بعدما تم الصلح والصلح وكتب، أمر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلمين فقال لهم، أمرهم بأن ينحروا ويحلقوا، فقال قوموا فانحروا ثم احلقوا، يعني قوموا من مكانكم، انتهى الاجتماع، فقوموا فانحروا يعني انحروا الهدي، يعني ضحوا يعني اذبحوا، ثم بعد ذلك احلقوا تحللوا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم يقم احد، ثم قالها مره ثانيه قوموا فانحروا ثم احلقوا فلم يقم احد، فقالها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مره ثالثه قوموا فانحروا ثم احرقوا فلم يقم احد. فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكانه الذي كان او مبيته، وكانت معه السيده ام سلمه زوجته رضوان الله عليها. فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو حزين، قال لاصحابه لاتباعه قوموا فانحروا ثم احرقوا ثلاث مرات فلم يقم احد. فقالت له ام سلمه رضي الله عنها، يا رسول الله أتحب ذلك؟ يعني أتحبهم أن يفعلوا ذلك؟ أتحب أيضا أن تقبل بمشورتي أو برأيي؟ فقال هاتي. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع منها، فقالت له يا رسول الله اخرج إليك ولا تكلم أحدا وانحر كنك، يعني الجمال التي أحضرتها للهج، قم إليهم وانحر كنك، يعني الجمال التي أحضرتها، ولا تكلم احدا كلمه، ثم ادعو حارقه فيحلق لك ولا تكلم منهم احدا كلمه واحده. فخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اخذ براي من؟ زوجات ام سلمه رضوان الله عليه ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، اخذ براي ام سلمه وخرج من خيمته اليه لم يكلم احدا، ثم امر بكتمه يعني بجماله فنحرت، ثم امر بحلاقه بالحلاق فحلق له بحارقه فحلق. فلما رأى القوم ذلك من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قاموا جميعا فنحروا وتزاحموا على نحرهم، وقاموا جميعا وحلقوا حتى كاد يقتل بعضهم بعضا غما بأن لأنه الذي يسمعه إلى كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ البداية. فكانت مشهورة السيدة أم سلمة رضوان الله عليها لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمثابة أنه أخذها وقبلها وطبقها، ولذلك فعل القوم مثل ما فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذا فينبغي على الزوج أن يستشير زوجته خاصة فيما يتعلق في الأمور التي تتعلق في حياته بما الزوجية ولأولادهما، قد تكون في المشورة الرأي الصائب. والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه الكريم وأمرهم شورى بينهم. From the right of the wives upon their husbands is that the husband should consult their wife regarding their marital affairs, regarding their wife, and particularly what is related to their wife and their children and everything, in order to reach the right decision. It might happen that the wife has an opinion which might say something. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the best example in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, we knew that in the 6th year of Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to go to Mecca and he took the Muslims with him, and they went through and they ate at Mecca, and on the way they took an Al-Hudaybiyya. And the people of Quraysh did not allow them to enter Mecca in that year, and they sent a delegation for them, and the delegation under the leadership of Suhail ibn Amr, they concluded an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was unjust agreement in the sight of the Muslims. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it in order to save the blood of the Muslims and the blood of the people from Quraysh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this agreement and considered it as he put a chance that he will start preaching and inviting the people during the 10-year agreement that they agreed upon on that year. And from the conditions, most of the conditions that were put in this agreement, they were dictated by Christ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted all of them. And one of the conditions was that Muslims, they had to go back to Medina in this year. They should not perform Umrah in this year. They had to go back to Medina, and then next year they can come to Mecca. Then the Prophet Muhammad accepted that. And we know if the people are going to perform Umrah or Hajj, they put on Ihram. They have the Ihram, they have the intention to perform it. And in order to go back to Medina, they have to remove their Ihram. But in order to remove the Ihram, they had to sacrifice the animals and to shave. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his followers, he said, go and sacrifice the animals and shave. So we can remove the Ihram and go back to Medina. He repeated this 3 times. Stand up, sacrifice the animals, and remove the Ihram, and shave, and then remove the Ihram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this another time. They did not do it. He made a third request. Go, sacrifice the animals, and shave and remove the Ihram. But also tell them the third time they did not listen to the Prophet, they did not follow, they did not do it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that he entered into his tent, and his wife Umm Salama, the Allah sent to his parents, was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you sad? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I told him 3 times to sacrifice the animals and to shave and to remove the Ihram and go back to Medina. But they did not do it, and I asked him 3 times. So Umm Salama said, O Prophet, do you like them to do that? Can you accept my opinion? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to her. And she gave the opinion, she said, O Prophet, if you can accept my consultation, my opinion, then go out for them and don't talk to anyone with them. Don't even say a single word. And take your camels and sacrifice the camels. The Prophet ﷺ brought the camels with him as a sacrificial animal. So she said, sacrifice the camels and then call your brother, the person who will shave you, and then shave. And don't talk to anyone of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he refuse you will have consultation for the opinion of the Taliban and said, I am the prophet, I have to speak to my Islam, I'm not going to do that. He found out that there's something right in his saying, something which might not come to his mind at a certain time. So the Prophet listened to him, took his opinion, and he went out and he sacrificed his camel, and then he said, then all the people did exactly what the Prophet did. Even they were fighting with each other, even some of them were about to kill each other because they did not listen to the Prophet from the very beginning. And by doing that, they realized the mistake that they had not listened to the Prophet, and this is a kind of disobedience in the very beginning. So they were fighting with each other. Who is going to sacrifice first? Who is going to share first? Just implementing the order and the command of the Prophet ﷺ by looking at him and observing him, performing the things that he is asking them to do. So the Prophet ﷺ accepted the opinion and the consultation of his wife, Umm Salama, and that was that there's a whole situation. See, subhanAllah, so he says, this variable, he says, from the right of the wife upon their husband is to consult each other regarding the affairs. Because this is a shared life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers it as a shared life also in the Holy Quran. وَأَمَّا مِنْ حُقُوقِ أَزْوَاجُهِ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ فَلَا يَجُوزُ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَنْ تَأْذَنَ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا مَنْ يَكْرَهُ وَجْهُهُ. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في خطبة الوداع وهو قد بين فيها ما بين. بين فيها كثيرا من المعاملات والعبادات والعقائد والحقوق. بين فيها صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ايضا الحق بين الرجل والمرأة والعلاقة بين الزوج وزوجته. يقول رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في خطبة الوداع: ولكم عليهن، يعني لكم ايها الرجال، على نسائكم الا يوطئن فراشكم احدا تكرهونه، ولا يأذن في بيوتكم من تكرهون. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في خطبة الوداع: ولكم عليهن، يعني لكم على أزواجكم، ألا يطعن، يعني ألا يسمحن لأحد أن يجلس على فراش الزوج أو في بيت الزوج إلا بإذن من يكره، ولا يأذن حتى في البيت من يكره الزوج. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حين يبين ذلك إنما يحافظ على العلاقة بين الزوج وزوجته. From the right of the husband upon their wife is that they should not allow somebody into the house without the permission of the husband. And particularly the person that the husband does not like him or has to be in the house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining this aspect, this item, especially this item, in his last khutbah al-wada'. When he gets this sermon, he explains many things. It actually is this khutbah. He clarifies the belief, he explains the ibadat, the worship, and he pointed out everything that related to the life of the person with himself, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his neighbor, with his family, the husband and the wife. And from the thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized in this khutbah, he said, from the right for you women upon your wife, the right from the right of the husband upon the wife, is that they should not allow somebody to sit in the place of the husband or to sit in his house, especially the one whom he dislikes or the one whom he does not like, and should not permit or allow somebody to enter the house that the husband does not want him or her to enter the house. That's a clear statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is stated in his last sermon in order to keep the relation between the husband and the wife intact. وَمِنْ حُقُوقِ الْمَرْأَةِ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ أَلَّا يَظَلَّ خَارِجَ الْبَيْتِ بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ لِفَتْرَةٍ طَوِيلًا وَحَتَّى وَأَنَّهُ فِي الْبَيْتِ لَا يَظَلُّ بَعِيدًا عَنْ زَوْجَتِهِ ويحتج بأنه مشغول بالعبادة وبالقيام والصيام وبغيره. لماذا؟ هذا رجل صائم صائم، كان يصوم الليل، يصوم النهار ويقوم الليل، يأتي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، تأتي زوجته وتشتكي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، هي لم تشتكي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صراحة، لكنها قالت له إن زوجي يصوم النهار ويقوم الليل،
فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فهم مرادها، فهم انه لا يعطيها حقها، فهم انه يتغيب عنها، حاضر غائب. فناداه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له: يا هذا، ان لربك عليك حقا، وان لبدنك عليك حقا، وان لزوجك عليك حقا، فاعط كل ذي حق حقه. فانت صليت العشاء، انتهيت من صلاتها، اذا لم يكن هناك داعي لقضاء الليل او للسهر خارج البيت، فعليك ان تعود الى البيت حتى ترعى اهلك. هذا من حق المراه على
زوجها.
From the right to the wife of the husband is that after staying the Isha, after performing the Isha, the husband should not stay late outside the house for a long time without any excuse. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was informed about the person who is even sitting in his house, but at the same time his absence, completely absent from his wife. The wife came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, my husband is fasting the whole day and is praying the whole night. The Prophet ﷺ understood that he's not paying attention to his wife. He called him and he said, listen, there is a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. There is a right for yourself upon you. There is a right for your wife upon you. If everything, everyone is your right. Your wife has a right upon you. Your Lord has a right upon you. Yourself has a right upon you. You might worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be obedient to Him, but at the same time, even if you pay attention to your wife, this is also a kind of obedient way from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear that you should not be absent from the house for a long time, and at the same time, if you are at the house, you should not be present and absent at the same time. You should pay attention to your wife. ومن حقوق الرجل على المرأة أن تحافظ على ماله وأن تحسن تربية أولاده وأن لا تمن عليه إذا أنفقت من مالها على سبيل الله. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس ولا يؤمن بالله ولا باليوم الآخر. فينبغي ويجب على المرأة أن تحافظ على مال زوجها ولا تنفق من ماله إلا بإذنه، لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بين في حديثه الصحيح الشريف أنه لا تنفق امرأة من مال زوجها إلا بإذنه. قالوا: يا رسول الله، حتى ولو على الطعام؟ قال: إن هذا خير الأموال أو أفضل أموالنا. يعني لا تنفق المرأة إلا بإذن زوجها، وينبغي على الزوج ألا يكون بخيلا فيبخل على أهل بيته، لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الحديث الصحيح: درهم أنفقته في سبيل الله، ودرهم أنفقته على فقير، ودرهم أنفقته على أهل بيتك خيرها الذي أنفقته على أهل بيتك. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: خير هذه الإنفاقات الثلاث أنفقت في سبيل الله، أنفقت على فقير، أنفقت على أهل بيتك، خيرها الذي أنفقته على أهل بيتك. فينبغي على الرجل ألا يبخل، كذلك ينبغي على المرأة ألا تنفق من مال زوجها إلا بإذنه، وأن تحافظ على ماله، وأن تصون عرضه، وأن تحسن تربية أولادهما، وأن لا تمن عليه إذا كان الزوج ليس بيسير الحال، وأنفقت المرأة من مالها الخاص على زوجها، لا تمن عليه في كل وقت: أنا أنفق عليك، أنا أعطيك، أنا أهديك، أنا أفعل كذا وكذا، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. That brothers and sisters, from the rights of the husband upon their wife is that they should not spend from the province of the wife with the money of the husband without his permission, even for granted food. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, and it is not allowed for the women to spend from the wealth of the husband without their permission. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even for wine the food? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the food is the best of our wealth. So he said that she should not spend anything with the, except with the permission of the husband. And at the same time, it is an obligation upon the husband not to neglect his family. to extend to the family and to be generous to them, not to be like wasting and extravagant, or not to be a miser. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in his hadith when he said that a dirham, that some amount of money, little amount of money that you spend from the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some amount of money that you spend on a poor person, some amount of money that you spend on your family, the best of these three types of spending and saying is that you spend on your family. The best of them is that you spend on your family. So do not be stingy and miserly regarding the expenses and the spending on your family. And at the same time, the wife is obligated to heed and protect and preserve the wealth and the money of the husband and not to spend without his permission. And at the same time, she is obligated to take care of the children, because she, most of the time, she is exposed to them. Most of the time, she can deal with them, she can raise them, she can raise them in a different environment. Allah, and what at the same time, if the husband is insolvent and cannot spend, and sometimes the wife, they spend from their own money, and then something, a problem happens between the husband and the wife. So she comes at a certain point and says, you remember such and such a day when I gave you? You remember such and such a day when I spent on the house? You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to that in the Quran? He said, O believers, do not follow your spending with a miser. Do not follow your charity, the things that you give with a miser, the people with everything it will make it go in vain. It will be useless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it. And this applies to every kind of charity. That whenever you give, do not follow it with a miser. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يصنعك إلا وفي ساعة إجابة فتوب عليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلاة الله وسلامه على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، عباد الله اتقوا الله عز وجل وراقبوه واعملوا صالحا تجدون. على الأزواج أن يتقوا الله عز وجل في زوجاتهم، وعلى الزوجات أن يتقين الله سبحانه وتعالى في أزواجهم في أزواجهن. فالله سبحانه وتعالى بين وحدد العلاقة وجعل لها حقوقا وواجبات، ونحكم الحقوق الزوجية بحق مشترك بين الرجل والمرأة. وهذا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون له أهمية من الأهمية بمكان. هذا الحق هو أنه يجب على الزوج أن يحترم أقارب زوجته ولا يدينهم وأن يحسن معاملتهم، ويجب أيضا على الزوجة أن تحترم أقارب الزوج ولا يدينهم وأن تحسن معاملتهم، خاصة الوالدين. فلا يتكاب الزوج والزوجة ويجلب السب واللعن والإهانة لآبائهم وآبائهن. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن من أكبر الكبائر أن يلعن الرجل والديه. قالوا يا رسول الله، وكيف يلعن الرجل والديه؟ قال يسب الرجل أم الرجل فيسب أباه، ويسب الرجل أم أمه فيسب أمه. هكذا يسب الرجل أم الزوجة فتسب أمه، يسب الرجل أبا الزوجة فتسب أباه، تسب الزوجة أبا الرجل فيسب أباها، تسب الزوجة أم الرجل فيسب أمها. لكن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كان حريصا على إظهار الاحترام من حسن معاملة الزوجة أن تحترم أهلها والديها وأقاربها، ومن حسن معاملة الزوج أن تحترم المرأة والدي الزوج وأقاربه. هكذا بين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في معاملته مع أزواجه، وكان أقرب ما يكون إلى صحابته الذين تزوج منهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We want to conclude the right of the husband upon the wife and the right of the wife upon the husband with a very important and significant mutual right. This is about both of them. The husband, they should respect the family and especially the parents of the wife, and they should treat them nicely, kindly, with mercy and affection. And also, at the same time, the wife, they should respect the family of the husband, and especially their parents, and their families to treat them mildly, kindly, with mercy and affection. Look, subhanAllah, it is not expected from the husband and the wife to start insulting each other or to exchange to take that insult, and then at the same time, their insult will not be confined or restricted to them. It might go beyond that to the family. At this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade that. He said from the major sense is that the person will insult his parents. Just from the major sense, that the person might insult his parents. They say, oh Prophet, the companions of the Prophet, they will agree. Because nothing will like this will happen at their time. The companions of the Prophet will agree. They say, oh Prophet, how come the person might insult his parents or her parents? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone might insult the parents of someone, and this person will insult his parents. So you insult the parents of somebody, his father, he will not keep quiet, he will not keep quiet, you insult his father or his father. And at the same time you insult his mother, he will insult your mother. It is the same thing that might happen between the husband and the wife. The husband might insult the father of the wife, she insults his father. He might insult her mother, she insults his mother. And vice versa. And then the life will be terrible. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to bring the affection, the love, the kindness in this relation, that from the kindness towards the wife is to respect her parents and her family. And from the kindness towards the husband is to respect his parents and his family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time, in this blessed time, in this blessed day, to forget all our sins and forgive our family. And the relation between the husband and the wife is intact and strong, and to bring between them mercy, love, kindness, and affection. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be had a yawm al-azim wa be had a da'at mubaraka an yarhama wa an yunfida husrana min al-qiyam wa an yajlib al-mahabbata wal-samahata wal-rahmata wal-afa والحلال بالعلاقة الزوجية بين الزوج والزوجين كما نسأل سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وأن يستر عيوبنا وأن يصلح صدورنا وأن يبلغنا بما يرضيه آمالنا. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إثما كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إلى الله إن الله صلى على نبيه ولم يجد صلي عليه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم واسألوه يغفر لكم واشكروه يزدكم وأقيموا الصلاة.